You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Take a journey with me into possibilities, images, thoughts in the back of your brains, memories from long ago and maybe yesterday. Take out a piece of paper, the notes section on your computer, and I want you to maybe write or draw or doodle in response to the following words. I'll give you a moment. Once you're prepared, these are the words I'd like you to consider. I'm going to take a little pause in between each word so you can, you know, at least get started with some of your thoughts. God. Jesus. Holy Spirit. The Church. Eternity. Heresy. Prayer. Religion. And theology. There are others that I could give you today, but for now, let's just deal with those. Our scripture reading today is from what is understood to be Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in Corinth, Greece. To put a little historical data on the reading, Corinth, at the time of Paul, was a city of 600,000. That is more than the current population of Tucson, Arizona, and a bit less than the population of Detroit, Michigan, or Memphis, Tennessee. The stereotype of a Corinthian at the time is seen in theater as a drunkard. Corinth had become a byword in the Greco-Roman world for vice. Paul was probably the first Christian missionary to the city. He had his hands full. At one point, there were divisions developing in the congregation over who had the best, most favorable gifts. This reading is Paul's answer to those concerns.
Our words of wisdom are from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 4 through 11 and verses 17 through 20.
There is a variety of gifts, but always the same Spirit. There are all sorts of service to be done, but always to the same Lord. Working in all sorts of different ways in different people, it is the same God who is working in all of them.
The particular way in which the Spirit is given to each person is for a good purpose. One may have the gift of preaching with wisdom given them by the Spirit. Another may have the gift of preaching instructions given them by the same Spirit. And another, the gift of faith given by the same Spirit. Another, again, the gift of healing through the same old Spirit. One, the power of miracles. Another, prophecy. Another, the gift of recognizing spirits. Another, the gift of tongues. And another, the ability to interpret them.
All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, who distributes different gifts to different people just as he chooses. Just as a human body, although it is made up of many parts, is a single unit because of all these parts, though many make one body, so it is with Christ.
Nor is the body to be identified with any one of its many parts. If your whole body was just one eye, how would you hear anything? If it was just one ear, how would you smell anything? Instead of that, God put all the separate parts into the body on purpose. If all the parts were the same, how could it be a body? As it is, the parts are many, but the body is one.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
So how does all this tie into today's message, you ask? Well, bear with me. Those who have eyes to see and ears to hear shall be rewarded with answers. Western theology is not similar to Western medicine or Western philosophy or Western versus Eastern cultures. The Western theology I am introducing today comes from a book by an Episcopal priest, Wes Seeliger, published in 1973. The title is Western Theology. Y'all have written or drawn or otherwise thought through the words I spoke earlier. Some of you probably had a hard time with the first few and got better in your feelings and thoughts as I went down the list. So let's give it a try. I give it a go and try a new perspective on very old words. Some of us were raised in more traditional churches than others. Perhaps like me, those churches, had a large circular stained glass window depicting Jesus in prayer. Some of you know Steve Naylor, who is a snowbird and lives in Rockford, Illinois. He now attends the church that that stained glass window now resides in. The church itself sold the one building and moved to another location, but took the window with them. It's a memory for me. It triggers my image of Jesus, my image of what prayer is. Reverend Seeliger offers us some ideas to ponder. Western theology is his attempt to give us a new image of the words we've written today. He offers two distinct forms of theology, settler theology and pioneer theology. In settler theology, the church is the courthouse. It is old and needs repair, but only gets a fresh coat of whitewash once a year. Within the courthouse, on the first floor, we find the office of the sheriff, the tax assessor collector, and also on this floor is a locked door where the almanac is kept. The almanac tells of the pioneer days before the town was founded. Of course, it is kept safe so the people don't get any ideas about pioneering again. On the top floor of the is the mayor's office, the Honorable Alpha Omega. The courthouse is the settler's symbol of law, order, tradition, stability, and most important, security. In pioneer theology, the wagon train is the church. Always on the move, no place is its home. Leading the wagon train is the trail boss. The wagons are beat up by the constant moving, hills and valleys, bad weather and not. Onward they move. Unlike settler theology, where obedience to the rules is most important, and each person must do their part to maintain their personal role in the community, for their own good. Pioneer theology is or emphasizes each person is responsible for doing their part for the good of the wagon train, not themselves. The wagon train is not where one goes, it is where one lives. On the subject of God, I'm not sure what images you may have come up with. In Settler City, God is the mayor. He is locked away, but can be seen peeking out his second-story office window, making sure all is right with the church. Making sure the courtyard lawn is kept appropriate and that everybody's doing their following the rules. He makes rules for everyone to follow. If they are disobedient, he sends the sheriff to deal with the offenders. The people may contact him by telegraph from downstairs. He is predictable, punctual, and pugnacious. Above all, he is always right. Don't dispute him. In his inaugural address, his final words were, If you keep my rules and don't give me sass, you'll have order in town and peace at the last. So partners, beware, I'm making a list. Some will be blessed and some will get my fist. He's respected and feared. Pioneer theology offers a totally different image of God. Mr. Jehovah is the trail boss. Pioneers simply call him Mr. J. Mr. J rides hard, has huge hand and size 13 feet. He keeps a bottle of whiskey for medicinal purposes in his saddlebags. He lives, he eats, he fights and sleeps with his people. He keeps the wagons moving. Some folks never seem to get to rest. He is known to slug a pioneer who tries to give up on themselves. Pioneers feel it is better to be a sore, alive pioneer than a comfortable, dead settler. Mr. J may be tough, but he has a soft side. He never gives up on the pioneers, or for that matter, the settlers. For Jesus, the image in Settler City is, if you can guess, the sheriff. His main purpose is to obey the mayor and make sure all the settlers are kept in line. Rules are rules, and it is his job to make the peace by patrolling the city and keeping the folks in line. He's sometimes getting himself beat up. Of course, it is for the good of others, makes some folks feel guilty to see it happen so they try harder to be good followers of the rules. The sheriff uses three tactics. The sugar method, all sweetness and kindness. His blue eyes and smile melt the settlers' hearts. Such a perfect example for living, right? His second tactic is to make people feel guilty, so they try harder to obey the rules. If these relative soft tactics fail, the hard sell comes next. Basically, it is a threat to go to the mayor's anthill, the last roundup. Like the mayor, he says, if they won't join you, lick them. The deputies are Billy James, cousin to Jesse, and Billy G. Kidd. We'll look at them at another time, but you can imagine who they might be. In pioneer theology, gives us Josh, the scout. Pioneers think scout may be his last name and sometimes call out scout when they need Josh. He comes from Dry Gulch, a ghost town, and rumors say he was born in a livery stable. The pioneers learn by observing Josh. He displays raw courage, love of adventure, obedience to the trail boss, strength, and much more. Josh is loved and admired, but there is something disturbing about his presence. When an inner voice seems to push pioneers to stop, Josh is there to dissuade them from seeking the settler life, as it is death. Josh tells them that life on the trail is life. Settlers cannot stand Josh. They see him as too wild. Josh is the trail blazer, riding his horse Advent, stirring up the pioneers, pushing them forward. Pioneers say of Josh and the trail boss, if you've seen one, you've seen them both. What do you have for the Holy Spirit? In settler theology, Miss Dove. Miss Dove is the owner of the Olive Branch Saloon. She soothes the settlers with her song. She has a costume for every season. Purple, white, red, and green. Side note here. Those are the liturgical colors. Her job is to comfort the settlers and help them forget their troubles. The Holy Spirit in pioneer theology is known as Wild Red, the buffalo hunter. Always awesome, huge, the strongest guy around. His job is to furnish fresh meat every day for the pioneers. Red has a sense of humor, too. At night, he might give someone the hot foot. He's known to enter settler city, disrupt things, much to the chagrin of the settlers and Josh and the mayor. There are other contrasts between settlers and pioneers. For settlers, churchmanship is hanging around the courthouse, ice cream parties on Sunday on the lawn of the courthouse. Pioneer churchmanship is doing the chores to keep the train moving, wagon train moving forward, everyone playing their part. Eternity for settlers is what comes after you die. But for the pioneer, eternity is what Jehovah is, the depth and meaning of time. That's eternity for the pioneer. To the settler, prayer is telling, yes, I said, telling the mayor what they want done. Contrast that with pioneers. Prayer is being open to the glory and demands of pioneering, listening to the voice of the trail boss. Heresy in settler city is making waves, contradicting the mayor's rules. For pioneers, heresy is almost always a settler word. Theology in settler city is the city organizational chart, which is locked away in the bank vault. Yes, locked away. But for pioneers, the daily log of the wagon train is their theology, recording all the troubles and woes and triumphs and joys of the wagon train. Religion, can you guess for settlers? Manipulation. Settlers believe their rituals make things happen, much like the rooster actually believes that his crowing makes the sun come up. But for pioneers, religion is celebration. It is their dramatic response to Jehovah and Josh and Wild Red. There are many contrasts between the settler life and the pioneer life. Christians as settlers are more likely to live by inertia, staying the course, following routine, looking for that old-time religion. Settlers are stuck in the every person for themselves way of living. There is no guesswork in settler city. Settlers trust in the mayor and the sheriff. Peace is the insurance that following the rules will lead you to Boot Hill, the final resting place of settlers triumphant. The city is held together by three golden cords: fear of the frontier, obedience to the mayor, and strongest of all, inertia. As to settlers' relationship with pioneers, it's only one word: none. Settlers want nothing to do with pioneers. Pioneer Christians are people of risk and daring, boundless curiosity, and wild imagination. Pioneer, thus Christian life, is tough. It is hard. The trail is long and dusty. It demands everything and promises only life. Not pleasure, not success. Pioneer life is aimed at the future. Everyone is welcome on the wagon train. Pioneers are not snooty folks. On the frontier, there's always a new adventure. Pioneers are always hearing the voice of the trail boss, the silent voice, loudest in the still of night. It speaks life where only death can be seen, hope where there is none, courage when fear abounds. The scout, that is Josh, who has been there before, who blazes the trail, gives his strength to the people of the wagon train. And Wild Red steps in with guns a-blazing, forcing you to dance, to move you when you thought you could not move. Every person has a role to play. Unlike Settler City, where the bank tellers are the clergy and the bank president is the bishop, on the wagon train, the cooks are the clergy and the dishwasher is the bishop. It takes a lot to keep things rolling. Everyone plays their part, helping each other out every step of the way. Settler City women and children are to be seen and not heard. Pioneer women and children are right there with the men doing the chores, fixing the wheels, serving the meals, repairing the canvas, driving the mules. There are no lone rangers on the trail. A settler makes the decision to join the wagon train individually. Once on the train, he is equally important. Women are equal, even to the point that some cooks are women, and some dishwashers for that matter. The pioneer is a person of joy, not settler-type happiness, the absence of pain, deep joy, the joy of living beyond the confines of winning and losing, success and failure. So the challenge to each of us is to choose. Do we want to be settlers or pioneers? In Settler City, the gifts Paul speaks of to the church in Corinth have little meaning. The mayor dictates your role in the city. The almanac and the city plan direct your life, yet they're locked away. On the wagon train, Paul's words guide life. Many parts, but one body, right? Pioneers work together to keep the train rolling. The trail boss is always there by your side, not locked in the courthouse in a dark room. Josh is to be followed as Jesus is followed. The sheriff controls. The scout leads. Miss Dove soothes you with her soft voice, making it easy to forget your troubles. Wild Red pushes you forward, keeping you on your toes, dancing to a new song every day. The author and illustrator, Kensia Sin, gives us these words of wisdom for the week ahead. Remember that our true purpose in life is to take care of one another. Our occupations are therefore tools for taking care of others using our natural talents. So what do you say? Are you a settler? Or are you a pioneer?
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.